The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 9 and 10. One would think that wisdom is elusive, hard to find, to see, to understand, to hold on to. But nothing could be further from the truth. And yet, looking at the record of those who have gone on before us, we find that somehow wisdom is a stranger to man. And when we don't learn from the past, we're doomed to repeat it. A fool will believe that they can enter into a period that has proven itself to be beyond man's understanding, and that because today is today and they feel more powerful, they feel that they have gained the knowledge that they need to conquer, they quickly forget that the past has proven itself, and that an idea that defies the sovereign Lord will not at any time and under any circumstances get the best of him. Nor will it divert or thwart his plans. After all, who can compare with him? Wisdom is of God. It is experience, shrewdness, the ability to make wise choices at the opportune time. It is an indication of maturity and of development. The world is full of wannabes today, full of people who claim to be the Messiah, that they will save the earth, they will save mankind. But it must be done by destroying it first. This line of thinking is futile, and it is chaos, not order. And these are the days we live in, but they are not the days that we have to live. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions. Proverbs 1 and 20. I won't call anyone a fool. I don't need to. Because they expose themselves as to what they are by the fruit that they bear. You only need to see and to hear them as they bray and beat their chest, stretching for all their worth to pat themselves on the back. The Lord reminds us in Hebrews 11 and 6 that without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. The writer of Hebrews, after having told of how Enoch was taken away, reminds us that it was his faith in God that Enoch was commended for as one who pleased God. It was recorded in Enoch in Genesis 5 and 24 that he walked with God, reminding us that it is one thing to know of God, but entirely another to have entered into a relationship with him, a covenant, where we are called to believe and to trust in him and in his word. You see, God has made plain to you, to us, all of us, who he is by the things that surround us, by the simplest of details to the filling of the horizon with the majesty of the mountains, in the miracle of birth, by the healing and mending of our bodies. It is by the peace that is ours when we turn everything over to him, even though every day we are approached by evil and witness the destruction that accompanies it. You see, we'll go to the doctor when something is wrong with our body. We'll go to the store when we are in need of food and clothes and various things to accommodate us in our daily life. And we'll take a vacation when we're worn out from the day-to-day routine and need some well-deserved rest and relaxation. But we're hesitant to seek the Lord, to seek him diligently and with all our heart. It is not half-heartedly that we are to seek to please him or to believe that he exists and that he watches over us. And we're to remember that at all times he's with us, and that we don't need to cry out to him for him to hear us. And we need to remember that convenience is not the time when he checks in on us, but that we're always before him. And not one moment of our lives passes without his knowing of where we are and what we're doing. And this even in the lives of those who hate and despise and rebel against him. Faith must have an object, something desired, sought after. And in Jeremiah 29:13 and 14, the Lord of Israel says, "You will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity." You see, the Lord was sending the people of Israel into exile. No longer could he look upon them without anger at their stubbornness and adherence to rebellion, at their willingness to worship and serve idols and false gods, and for this they were taken captive by the Babylonians. And for the next 70 years, they will be away from the land that he had given them to be their home after he had led them out of Egypt. They had forgotten him as their bellies grew full. And when their pockets filled with riches, they danced as the blessings poured down, for they were a people well, and with all that they had before them, they let themselves be led from God, and they forgot the covenant that they had entered into with him. They had not learned from their own past, from the blessings and curses of the various kings, and so behind them stood their own history, and before them the inability to not repeat it. You see, evil refines itself, but man will only cry about his bad luck. Because of Israel's evil and wicked ways, because of their rebellion, because of their silence, because they did not heed the warnings given them by the prophets and the watchmen on the walls as to the time they fell. And to cleanse them of the evil ways that they had adopted, the Lord needed to get their attention. They needed to remember who they were. The world is in exile today. The reality of it is that we live on a prison planet. The world was taken captive during the fall, and with it, a dramatic and transformative change came upon the earth. The natural was now subject to the supernatural, and the battle for the souls of men to whom the Lord God had given dominion over the earth had begun. Man would see the powers, the rulers, the authorities of the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms change the landscape, trap, ensnare, and deceive men. And with the world now cloaked in darkness, it would soon forget the Creator and worship the created, and to the deceiver it would pay tribute, building on his kingdom and converging every evil in man's heart to fulfill his evil desires. Each of us makes the decision to walk with God or to rebel against him. Walking with him means the willingness to meet with him, to be in his word, to be obedient to him, and to want him to change you from what you once were or even are today into what you can be through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that is to become holy and blameless before God as he is holy and blameless. You see, it was Jesus who came from heaven, Jesus who took on the form of a man, suffering the things of the body as you and I do, who walked up to the soldier that had come to arrest him and peacefully went with him. And when he was questioned, he only spoke to answer the question, "Are you the King of the Jews?" He didn't complain that he was innocent or what was happening was unfair. And when led to Golgotha, he lay down on the cross. He gave himself up to the task before him, and he saw it through with grace and strength, with the knowledge that he would again pick his life up, and with the understanding that he was the only one that could do what needed to be done to free the captives and give back to them life. He breathed his last, and after following the darkness, there would come a break of dawn, and death would be conquered, and Jesus resurrected, having gained the victory. You see, it's far too easy today to see the evil in the world, to hear the cries of the broken, of the wounded, of those who need the Lord as they wander, looking for what will satisfy them and not what they need. Blinded are the eyes and stopped up are the ears of those in need of Jesus as Savior and Lord. They refuse to believe, to have faith in him, and so they wander, never finding peace, never knowing rest, but always wanting what cannot be found by them and rejecting what they have been offered. Christian, yours may not be the journey that you envisioned in this life, but it is the journey that God planned for you, knowing that you would fall, that there would be times of rebellion in your life, and that these were to be a part of the learning curve of being refined by the fire of trials and temptations. When we boast, and we all do, let it be of the Lord and what he has done. And when the time is right, as with all things of God, that he may boast of us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." From Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 12a, "My son, If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful one. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men. Maranatha.